Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Say it's my first trip to Pensacola as the Chief of Naval Operations, and what a beautiful day to be here. Just got done with an all-hands call to about 1,000 of our sailors and Marines. Of course, the cradle of naval aviation here, and our training command is here as well. So many sailors go through this area, so it's a real great opportunity for me. I look forward to your questions.
Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Darryl Cottle was here yesterday at NAS Pensacola talking to the sailors and Marines, giving them some updates on, you know, naval policy, talking about a whole variety of things, and, you know, just talking about how great it is to be here, of course, as his first visit. I had said earlier that Admiral Franchetti, I never know which way it is. I think it's Franchetti, but I could be wrong. When she was a CNO and, of course, got fired by Trump, she was here most recently for the commissioning of the McCool. That was in 2024. Man, my years, I just get them all smashed out together. But so this is, I mean, it's really unusual to have the highest ranking officer in the Navy visit the base, a 4-star, let alone the CNO. I mean, that's a pretty big deal for us. So, you know, Chris Bryan from the afternoon show, Pensacola Right Now, from 4 to 7 here on News Radio, he was there. I wasn't able to be there because of the timing of the event and having to do this show. Otherwise, obviously, I would have gone had I been able to. But he was asked the question, not specifically about BRAC or realignment or any of that, but was asked a question about consolidation, or of eliminating things, and he kind of answered. I didn't think the answer was as thorough as I wanted, but maybe the question wasn't quite as specific as I would have asked it, but that's okay. I mean, he still addressed the issue.
I'm not aware of anything that I'm working on to do any kind of consolidation. You know, we are always looking for opportunity for, you know, in our military construction processes, for facilities that need to be demolished or torn down or don't meet code or standards any longer, to go divest in those, because I have to support those, and they're on our books, if you will. So, but I wouldn't look at that as any kind of consolidation efforts.
So, I mean, he didn't say a bad thing. I just didn't quite get the assurance I would hope for, and he can't anyway. I mean, not really. Are you looking at anything specific at NAS Pensacola mission-wise that you're thinking about leaving or Whiting Field? The answer is going to be no at Whiting. But, you know, if it hasn't been announced, he's not going to announce at a press conference because he got asked. And the big changes that might come from a BRAC are probably not things he's going to announce under these circumstances anyway, because that's going to come through hefty negotiations at the congressional level. Also talking about the fitness changes, I reported to you the other day that the Navy has now gone back to having twice-a-year fitness tests, and also a combat readiness fitness, like specifically for folks who are in combat, the, you know, additional demands that puts on the body, that's actually a competency test that they're implementing as well.
100% behind it. You know, we went to one physical fitness test per year post-COVID. We needed to get back to two. And the Navy has really never had a combat fitness test for those rates and professions that are in combat arms specialties. And so we now have that in place as well. And when you couple that together with the work I'm doing with improving galleys and nutrition and just really making total sailor fitness across mind, body, and spirit, this is just one dimension of that. So I want sailors to really recognize that these changes are what they need to do to invest in themselves so that they are ready for high-end warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea that you need to make sure that everybody is fit, everybody is ready, and that there are maybe specific requirements for people who are in specific combat roles. Also, we talked about, you know, something that I didn't really realize was such an issue, but turned out to be far more interesting than I had ever thought of. If I just ask you the question, when sailors come back from deployment on the ship, where do they live? If you'd asked me that question, you know, yesterday, I would have said, well, they live in their apartment or their house or their barracks or whatever. Well, it turns out that's not always true. There are many sailors, based on the numbers he says in here, something like 10,000 or so, that live on the ship. And that's not necessarily what they want to do. And he says this is something that we need to get rid of. Chris asked a really good question here.
You had mentioned that no sailor will live afloat.
Yeah, so when I came in as CNO, we had something between 8,000 to 10,000 sailors still living on ships. Now, this is a thing for only surface sailors. Submariners, they don't live on their submarines. Marines, they don't live in some pup tent somewhere. Aviators don't live in this hangar, right? But in our surface Navy, young sailors were still, you know, this is kind of E1, E2, E3, were still living on ships, okay, if they were single. And I personally believe in today's world, you should work and live in two different places. I think to have the privacy to actually have a relationship with, you know, with your friends and with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, to actually have a place to go relax off the ship is a requirement. It's not just a necessity. It is a requirement.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense, frankly. And I had read, so it kind of synthesized something that I had read before, but not really understood. I had kind of read these stories about the mental health struggles, the real problems that come from these sailors who return from deployment, but their only place to live is on the ship. And for example, when a ship is undergoing repair, how loud that can be, and that the constant banging and clanging and drilling and all of that creates a mental health challenge for them. And I'd never understood exactly, well, what do you mean they live on the ship and why don't they go to their apartment? Well, because they don't have one. And that was an interesting thing for him to observe. And he says, you know, no sailor should have to live afloat. Which is, they're going to work on that. More on this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. We're still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on 98 eastbound. Traffic is still, it's crawling, it just barely slowly moving, but it is still backed up past the Navarre Beach Bridge. So expect about a 45-minute delay in that area. I-10, I-110, everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
And so going back to this conversation with Chief of Naval Operations, Darrell Caudill. Yesterday, Admiral Caudill was here at NAS Pensacola talking about, you know, how much of a challenge it is for sailors who are on the ship but don't have another place to go afterwards.
Imagine we ask sailors to do 7, 8, 9 month deployments on aircraft carriers and destroyers, and they pull back into Norfolk or Mayport or San Diego, and that night they you know where they get to go sleep? On the same place they've been for the last 9 months. To me, that's just unsatisfactory. So I took this initiative on to get sailors off the ships.
Which, again, it makes sense to me because, and there might be some people who like it, I suppose, and you don't want to sort of force people into a situation they disprefer. But if people would rather, if sailors would rather not have to live on the ship, and you got to presume most of them would rather have a different place to go when they're back in base, especially when it's undergoing maintenance and overhaul, that's going to cost money. That's going to stress the supply chain for housing, right?
Now, we're already a bit oversubscribed with our unaccompanied housing, our barracks, our dormitories already. So how am I going to pull this off? Well, you're not going to be able to do that unless we have kind of a system where more senior folks that are in the barracks today are given BAH, our basic allowance for housing, and move them into the community so that younger sailors can take their place in the barracks. So Congress was right on board with this, gave the Navy the authority to give BAH to E4s and below. We're leveraging that authority. And then making sure I have the budget line to, you know, to make good on that is something I work on very hard so that we can actually get young sailors off ships into housing and get the more senior sailors into apartments and other places in town. It's worked very well. So since I've taken this on, I've moved about, I don't know, about 4,000 sailors off ships, and I got about 6,000 more to go. And so I'm on plan for that.
So about 40% of the way moving the 10,000 or so sailors into a situation where they have a land-based living accommodation when their ship comes back to port. Which, again, it makes sense to me. And also, you know, the problem of them being able to afford it, which cascade effect, if you can get the, you know, the more senior enlisted to have housing off the base or officers, I suppose, potentially, then, you know, the lower level E1 to E4 enlisted can, you know, go back on to the land, which is, again, kind of his goal in this. I got a couple of texts in on this. Somebody says a sailor from Pensacola who is stationed in San Diego recently had to pay out of pocket to live off the ship. I guess he says there's a new program to help young sailors E1 to E4, which is exactly what the CNO was talking about. That's exactly right. Does the no living on ship when in dock apply for the Coast Guard as well? Oh, no, interesting. I don't know the answer. Coast Guard falls under Homeland Security more, but I would hope that the protocols would be similar. You know, one agency could learn from the other. But, you know, I don't know the answer. It's a good question. Somebody says, I lived on the USS Forrestal for 3 years. As in, didn't have an off ship. And he said, I was single, and to be honest, it wasn't that bad. which I can see some people. And, you know, there's a inconvenience of moving your stuff and all that, but I could definitely see people who wouldn't prefer it. And just, you know, the idea of a vacation from the ship, you know, a real, not just a, you know, a day or a night or whatever, but a real, you know, couple of months or weeks anyway, break from being on the ship. It, you know, cognitively it makes sense. And I think of actually this kind of dovetails with something we sometimes make fun of a little bit or poo-poo a little bit, the, you know, the Gen Zers and the millennials and their complaints about mental health days and, you know, personal time and work-life balance and, you know, not wanting to be go-getters and all of this kind of stuff. And there is, obviously, there's, I think, a normal reaction to that is, you know, grow up and do your job, frankly, you know, and learn how to talk on the phone. But then there's another part that says, now, wait a minute. If it makes them happier, if it gives them an opportunity more easily to develop a personal life, as he was talking about, if it just works for their morale to have something that's off the ship, well, I mean, do that. You know, we want our sailors to be happy. We want they perform better when they're happy. We want them to feel adjusted. We don't want them to be stressed. We want them to re-enlist. You know, all of the things that come with this program, if we can make it a less difficult, challenging, harsh thing in a way that doesn't undermine mission but actually facilitates mission readiness, well, by all means, you know, just do it. Somebody else says just at 437-1620, somebody says just build more barracks rooms. The problem is they tore some down. Well, and we also have this kind of ongoing challenge of the barracks being in low condition. You know, lots and lots of challenges with accommodations. Somebody else says some cities are too expensive for the lower ranks to live, like in San Diego. I feel like this is a female. I'm not sure why I thought that, but could be a male. I don't know. Glad something is being done about it. And he actually addressed that because one of the questions that had been asked later in the press conference was, well, Pensacola has an affordable housing problem and off-base housing is pretty expensive. That's one of the challenges that we face. How much is that affecting decisions in this regard?
Unfortunately, you know, I would say Pensacola area here is not cornered the market on that problem. This is a problem, and I think predominantly because where the Navy is, it's in pretty good places. You know, so I tend to be in places people want to be. And, of course, it tends to be near the water in general for a lot of the Navy, you know, by nature of what we do. And so because of that, you tend to see higher cost of living in general. And there's been a shortage of housing. This, I'm just telling you, this goes from Maine, the shipyard at Bath Iron Works, the Ports and Naval Shipyard. It's certainly true in the Hampton Roads area. And just all down the eastern seaboard in Florida is not short on that as well. It is a problem I'm addressing.
This, for me, was a duh. Andrew, had you never thought about that before? Because when the question got asked, there was a part of me, there was a little part of me that thought, ooh, you know, don't remind him that housing is expensive here. We don't want him to think anything negative about NES Pensacola and Whiting Field. We don't want, you know, right? But he's like, well, no, that's just true everywhere. But it's not true everywhere. It's true on waterfront locations. And again, this is such an obvious thing, but you know, I hadn't thought about this, is where is the most expensive real estate? Well, on the water. Where does the Navy build bases? Well, on the water. Huh. You know, the Air Force doesn't necessarily have this challenge. The Army doesn't necessarily have this challenge. You know, they don't need to be in the most expensive real estate. But, you know, the Navy with, you know, ships and ports and all of that, okay. I mean, NAF El Centro is not on the water. I bet the housing in El Centro is not a challenge. Yeah, El Centro is a really small, I'm sure housing in El Centro is not a challenge. Housing in Pensacola, near the beach, guess what? That's a challenge because the Navy's going to be by the water. It makes perfect sense, but I had never put those two pieces together. John, had you ever thought about that before?
Never, ever.
But suddenly, you know, it makes sense.
It does. It really does, man.
Yeah. Everybody wants to live here, right? And so that's a challenge in general, but also specifically for the Navy. That's also one. Think about San Diego, right? Or Virginia, Norfolk. You know, I mean, good Lord, living on the East Coast by the water, Virginia, prices are terrible. The West Coast, San Diego, the prices are terrible. So it San Francisco, I mean, all of this kind of, it really does make sense. 824 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? No, I'm not going to get into it.
Oh, boy. What?
This Greenland nonsense. I mean, just... You know, can you give me just, like, a day where I can say fairly positive things about the administration and then not just dive straight into the razor blades politically? I mean, just please, sir.
We'll worry about Greenland in about 2 months. Let's talk about Greenland in 20 days. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security.
What? Okay. If we purchase Greenland, or if they voluntarily secede from the Kingdom of Denmark or whatever, oh, fine. Fine. But when the White House press secretary specifically rules in military action to conquer a, I don't know, fellow member of NATO's territory... Okay, I'm gonna be as measured about this as I can. Caroline Levitt says, the president and his team are discussing a range of options to pursue this important foreign policy goal, and of course, utilizing the U.S. military is always an option at Commander-in-Chief's disposal. No, it's not. No, false. The military is not always an option. There's no military option for acquiring land in England or France or Germany. Or any foreign nation that does not represent a threat to us, let alone a NATO member state. Okay, so I said I'd be measured. We haven't taken a break yet. Commercial this half hour, is that right? No. Okay, we will. If he uses military force against Greenland, that's a 100% immediate impeachable offense. Period. Unless Greenland attacks us first. Okay. And threatening or implying or allowing room for it is itself not an impeachable offense, but it is really bad. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. The only thing we're dealing with right now is on 98 eastbound. That accident has been moved onto the side of the road, but I'm still seeing traffic backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. So expect about a 30 to 40 minute delay just in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yahoo! Don't say you love me!
Good morning, 828 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A Venezuela-linked oil tanker has now been seized by the U.S. Multiple reports say the U.S. launched the operation in the North Atlantic today after tracking this tanker for the past 2 weeks. The U.S. first tried to seize it off the coast of Venezuela on December 20th. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will take part in a White House briefing later today. That's according to a post on X from Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt, who said Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rolling will also be in attendance for that. Leavitt said the secretaries will make another MAHA announcement at that event. And newly released transcripts reveal the gunman in the deadly Brown University shooting confessed on video to the attack. Federal prosecutors say he had also admitted to killing an MIT professor 2 days later. Those recordings were found at a New Hampshire storage facility where Claudio Neves Valente was found dead by suicide.
Thanks so much, David. I appreciate the update. We were talking a minute ago about how this younger generation, Gen Z, is into the work-life balance and the, you know, not being go-getters all the time. Although I hear from you know, a lot of folks in the military that they actually have managed to recruit some incredibly good people. But they reject hustle culture. They want work-life balance. They want, you know, private time. They don't want to make friends with people at work, all of this kind of stuff. There's a new phrase. John, have you heard this? Because you have Gen Z kid.
Yes, I do.
Kids, too?
Yes,
right?
Two.
Gen Z, okay. I mean, I know you have two, but I just couldn't remember the ages. Gen Z is advocating a thing that they're calling soft life. Soft life is
Are you kidding me?
A trending media aesthetic, I can't believe I said those words all in order, that emphasizes comfort, coziness, and self-care, rejecting hustle culture, expressing the desire to relax and spend more time doing what they love. I mean, we used to just call it being a hippie, but we don't need
world?
A new term.
I know.
You know, lazy, shiftless, hippie, right? That's no, look, if it's an effort to have a happy life, great. If it's an effort to avoid work and productivity, not great.
Not at all.
Chris Foster, President Trump says the U.S. will take control of 30 to 50 million barrels of Venezuelan oil. Members of Congress get briefings today on the military operation in Venezuela to capture the now former President Maduro and his wife.
This is the briefing that so many lawmakers wanted after the U.S. hit Venezuela on Saturday. Many lawmakers wonder what comes next, first in Venezuela and perhaps in Cuba.
Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol. Secretary of State Rubio tells lawmakers President Trump wants to buy, not invade, Greenland.
Following comments by the White House that, quote, the U.S. military is always an option to take over Greenland. Leaders from both Denmark and Greenland are rejecting President Trump's renewed calls to make that happen. Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen has warned that a U.S. takeover of Greenland, a Danish territory, would amount to the end of the NATO military alliance.
That's Tanya J. Powers, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 65 and cloudy here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, environmental and engineering concerns stalled a road improvement project in Florida Town yesterday. Developer Thomas Cornelison wanted the county to pave Kern Street. He was then planning to reimburse the county for the project. It would have led to a development of homes in the $250,000 range for that area. Cornelison says it would improve the neighborhood and reduce the area available for criminals and trespassers, but questions related to flooding had commissioners a bit concerned.
When I started digging into the water, to the basin study, and I was like, maybe it's an opportunity for us to put the brakes on our side of it. Because I don't know what the implications of it would be for us to do it. I mean, I don't know if there's any corners to be cut, or it's a timing issue for me.
That's Commissioner Kerry Smith. Now, the board decided to take no action at yesterday's committee meeting, and they directed staff to look into the concerns before they decide to bring it back for another look. Downtown Pensacola's major reconstruction project started this week. Mayor D.C. Reeves says it is on schedule so far.
Got going. We said we were going to get going, and we want this done by May 24th, and we continue to roll out from a marketing standpoint, communication standpoint, signage standpoint. That'll go on the fences now to give you it's basically a directory going up and down Palafox to tell you where to go.
Palafox Street is undergoing a complete overhaul, stormwater systems, grading, resurfacing. Mayor Reeve says the city is putting up wayfinding signage to help residents and businesses navigate the street during the closure. The first phase of that project from Garden to Main is expected to wrap up by May 24th. The city also opened up more than 400 free parking spaces to encourage folks to continue going downtown as that work is underway. A mobile home fire in Escambia County was fully engulfed when firefighters arrived on Tuesday morning. Escambia Fire Rescue says they responded to that home on West Jackson Street about 1:30 Tuesday morning. Firefighters were able to knock down the blaze within about 15 minutes of arriving. The home was not occupied at the time. No injuries were reported. The mobile home, though, did sustain significant damage and is considered to be a total loss. The Bureau of Fire and Arson is investigating what caused the fire. 33-year-old Pensacola man has been arrested and charged with two unprovoked attacks on elderly men in a local parking garage. That happened December 8th. Officials say Spencer Curtis Wills is now charged with felony battery on a person 65 or older and aggravated battery. This is in relation to the attacks of a 71-year-old and 79-year-old man at the Balin Street parking garage in December. Wills is now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. It is 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with John Pickens. Get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with some traffic on 98 eastbound. Again, traffic is backed up way past the Navarre Beach Bridge, but it is moving. Expect about a 30-minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at another lovely day with temperatures warming up near 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Thursday, small 20% chance of rain, high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64.
Temperatures down 4.59 this morning at 76.45. And Bitcoin down 788.51 at 91.730. Taking a look at our financial headlines today. Warner Brothers Discovery has rejected another hostile takeover bid from Paramount Skydance. Warner had already agreed to sell its streaming and audio business to Netflix for $72 billion. Paramount's been trying to buy Warner's entire media empire, including their pay TV networks. On Wednesday, the board of Warner Brothers Discovery once again unanimously recommended that its shareholders reject the offer, which they believe is inferior to the Netflix offer. Well, the Hilton has dissolved its relationship with a hotel in Minnesota that's accused of denying federal immigration agents from booking accommodations.
According to the Department of Homeland Security, Hilton Hotels maliciously canceled their reservations when officers attempted to book rooms using their government emails. Hilton issued a statement on X explaining that the independent hotel owner assured the company the problem was fixed, but cited new video that clearly raises concerns over the location's ability to meet its operating standards. The hotel chain said it would reach out to other owners to reinforce the standards to help ensure something like this doesn't happen again. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. The window for eligible customers to file a claim against Amazon is open. Amazon settled a 2023 antitrust lawsuit with the FTC for $2.5 billion in September. They allege the company coerced millions of customers into enrolling in Prime subscriptions. The FTC says the agreements were made egregiously difficult to cancel. Amazon has denied wrongdoing, but settled the lawsuit. Anyway, customers have 180 days to file a claim. It's 8:38. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today we are going to follow up on a conversation that you and I had briefly not that long ago, John. I think it was the day when it was suddenly cold out, and I had told you that I had come in shorts, but I had brought pants to change into.
Okay.
And I had said, yeah, and before I went to wherever it was I went out in the car and I changed clothes.
Correct.
And you gave me one of those, you know, those looks that made me think that you had some kind of a disapproving take on that, that, you know, there was something odd about that.
Come on, stink eye, John.
You stink eyed me.
Gosh, that's not well, very nice.
And sometimes.
So the question of the day, 437-1620, is it acceptable or not acceptable to change clothes in your car? Have you ever 437-1620, change clothes in your car? All right, John, I know your answer because you've already indicated it earlier. John,
well, what is my answer?
Your answer
then?
Is no.
Correct. Very good. You read my mind.
Do you have a why?
There's not enough room. I mean, when you have a two-door car, you're like, well, I can either go on this side or this side.
Excuse me, you just bought a, I don't know what you call
that. But that was back in the day.
Okay, all right.
We're talking like last month.
Yeah, previously.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do it in the driver's seat. You have to crawl in the back
with
seat to do it.
With the wheel in, okay, yeah. You're special. Okay, just all right, let's do it.
Be a little more flexible.
That's not me.
All right, Meg. 437-1620. Is it weird or normal to change clothes in the car under the circumstances where you need to, like you're out somewhere, you're away somewhere, you know, as opposed to going into a restroom or something and doing it?
Going into a gas station and doing it. Come on.
That's
man.
Better?
Well, it's better than everybody looking in.
And then putting your clothes, on the floor in the gas station?
No, you could
in the back, in the oil, in the nasty, in the
It's not a hard concept.
Okay, Meg.
You're asking me as if you don't know the answer.
Oh, I assume you. Well, no. Okay, this is actually not a male-female thing. At least I don't think so.
Okay.
Because my wife would definitely change clothes in the car.
Oh, I would.
Easy.
Never. No.
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 Because
the only time I can remember doing it was in college.
Okay.
When I was drinking.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Well.
I can't don't even know anything about that.
Poverty or alcohol. Those are your answers.
I mean, so that was a very, very long time
statue
ago.
Statue of limitations right. is
so
already
So even
up.
Now, if yeah. I know I'm going to the beach, but I might be going to have lunch first, I'll wear my bathing suit underneath the clothes, but okay. So I do not have to change in public.
So you'll scheme to avoid it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going
It's decorum. It's class. It's a lot of things.
Well, nobody ever said I had class.
Whoa, wait a second. I got to bring this in. Go ahead.
I made Dave laugh so hard in the other room that we could hear him through the glass.
Go ahead, David.
You all right there, David?
No, I'm good.
You had a reaction to me saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
David, you want to weigh in?
Sure.
Change in the car or don't change in the car?
I'll absolutely change in the car.
Thank you.
If you need a place to... I'd change outside the car if I needed to.
Yeah, whoa. I mean, why not? What's
whoa.
The big deal?
Whoa.
I mean, getting naked is one thing, but usually you're wearing at least underwear. What's the big deal? It's no worse than a bathing suit.
Silence.
Okay.
I close my choice.
There you go. Yeah. All right. 4376. Okay, let me.
I mean, it'd have to be an emergency for me. I mean, it would have to make sense.
Like your clothes are covered in stinging bees.
If I spilled something, say I'm in the car, I went through a drive-thru and I spilled something on myself or whatever, and I would happen to have clothes with me, I might do that. But, I'd take that back.
So I was going to say, I think
I still would go into
covered
the bathroom.
In cherry soda is still not stripping down, I think is what's going to happen. She's just going to endure it.
Yeah. Okay. And you'll thank me for that.
Later.
Okay, let me wrinkle this up a little bit. Let me make
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I may run afoul of a social norm that I did not realize I was already on the wrong side of, but when we go to the beach and we get out of the beach and we go to the car, I change into real clothes because I don't want to drive. I'm not always, but most of the time. Am I wrong
just
for thinking that everybody changes in the car? What's the big deal? I mean, you wait, you make sure nobody's like standing around or whatever, but just change in the car. What's the big deal? No, wouldn't do it.
I I think I have to at the beach sometimes, but I also, I don't know, I'm very discreet about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm not standing on the roof of the car or nothing.
Well, I pretty much see.
Mostly.
Having worked on the beach, I've seen people do that.
There you go.
So but there are a lot of people out there that could care less who sees them, where, what, or when.
And this is like when we go paddle boarding or anywhere where you're doing water stuff. If you want to get out of your clothes, you get out of your clothes. You just change. It's your car. It's your castle. Your mobile castle with four wheels. John, would you change at the beach? In the car at the beach?
Well, with the tent that I have now, maybe, but no, you know what? I just bring an extra towel.
You're a no. Okay, all right. Yeah, and I'm curious.
I just can't do it, man.
I'm curious how the audience goes on this. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about on Mobile Highway and Softly Field Road. It just happened, and we're starting to see backups on Softly Field. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
What's that, Meg? What is it you want to secretly communicate to me without the audience hearing?
I mean, they heard it. They heard it. I was trying to talk louder.
I never know what you're going to bring. I was going to say, Andrew, I come in here cold, y'all. I have no idea what to expect.
It's 100%. Well, I mean, to be fair, even I don't know what the topic is. It took 30 seconds before we're on the air.
I've had a half a cup of coffee. They've been up for 4 hours. They're expecting me to have a brain.
All right. So the question of the day, 437-1620, is it normal? Do you change in the car? Do you change clothes in the car? Ever, never, sometimes in emergencies at the beach? You know, I'm just kind of looking for a little bit of clarification. And my answer is, I mean, I've changed clothes in my car hundreds of times. It's maybe thousands. I don't know. Used to do it all the time, going from work to home to recreational events, having to put on a suit or office. I mean, just it's no big deal. There's times when it's a little more challenging than others, you know?
Yeah.
But, and especially going to the beach, just it's no big deal. Anyway,
front seat, back seat.
But
I'm
front
just
seat
curious.
Normally.
At the risk of stating the obvious, it is different for women.
How so?
Well,
this got deep.
Let's read
should
the text.
Should we go down that?
Let's just read the text.
Out,
let's just read the text.
Let's read the text.
All right. 437-1620. Oh, John Hutchinson, who I love so much, he says, I do not change clothes in my car, and I do not drive in my closet.
Thank you, John.
I love you, John Hutchinson.
You just need a larger closet. Says, oh. I would say at this point, anything goes. I am a woman, somebody else says, who travels a lot for work. And yes, I change in my car all the time. And again, I'll repeat, my wife many times has changed in the car. It's no big deal. And my wife is much more, she's much more private, doesn't want to be the center of attention, hates to be looked at than I am. So even she does. Let's see. Yes, usually while traveling. Somebody says it's not good to change clothes in the car if people could see you. If you're out in the wilds, go for it. And I think,
Sheriff, is this against the law? That would be a good question.
To be naked inside your car?
Yeah.
Because most of the time you don't have to get naked, but to be in your underwear is not illegal because you can be out and about in that.
Is that indecent exposure? That's an interesting question.
No, we'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Somebody says it's not good to change clothes in car if people could see. Oh, we did that one already. Sorry. Let's see. James says it's perfectly normal when necessary, especially if you have window shades or tinted windows. Tell me you've never been in the military without saying you've never been in the military. Of course it's fine to change in your car. That's funny. I do not recommend changing clothes in your car while driving. Okay, well, that's a safety note.
Whoa.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Most times,
let me check my phone too.
Most times as a kid between school and ballet, I had to do this. And then from ballet to the next place, I had to do this. There's a way to dress without exposing yourself. That's right. Just takes a little bit of skill. That might be your issue, John. Nobody ever taught you. No, the skill issue.
Right, and I don't want you to.
No, I'm not volunteering at all, even
good.
A little bit.
Good.
Ask
but if
Talisha.
You do, I want to buy tickets.
I feel like this could be the alternate
this
Olympics event. The 100-meter clothes change. Let's see. I changed in the... Okay, I will say this because I think a lot of people will relate to it. I will say, changing in the car, you're always trying to be fast. And if you're at the beach, let's just all admit that wet clothes are grippy.
Grippy?
You know what I mean.
Oh, this is getting good.
I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
It takes, there's a lot of times when you're feeling like this process should be faster and is not as fast as I wish it were.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just come back to the text. 437-1620. Let's see. Changed in the car every Friday night during high school football games back in the 60s. I worked after school at the hospital, had to change into my band uniform on the way to the game. Mom drove, and I wiggled into my uniform. Absolutely, changing car and underwear is better than some bathing suits. Underwear is better than some bathing suits, they're saying. I have a pop-up changing tent to use after scuba diving.
Oh.
I sold a weight set to a guy on Facebook Marketplace, and he changed his clothes in front of my house.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever. I forgot to pack a swimsuit on my trip to the Holy Land, but once I realized my underwear was larger than any bikini I'd ever owned, I just went in the Dead Sea in my black bra and panties. Nobody ever even knew. I have changed, these are all different texts. I have changed my clothes in my car frequently. Dark tinted windows do help. Sun visor up, push the seat back as far as possible. That's to clear the steering wheel. Get it done quickly. Get her done. Let's see. Good morning. I'm a female. I have often changed in the car, sometimes between stoplights if I'm going from one place to another and have to be in a different outfit. So I'm the one who might be, you know, sitting in a light at a at a light with a bra on and a different shirt on that doesn't match. That's like from one light to the next. That's funny.
Oh my goodness.
Let's see. I change in front of people and I charge admission.
Hey, that's a good idea. Only
that's
fans.
The best. Countless times, says a politician to be named later, I change in the car all the time. I'm a female too, but I will change in the front seat. I don't care. First time texter, by the way. I love getting first time texts. Thanks for listening. Completely changed from salesman attire to referee uniform while driving to not be late for tip off. Yes, sir. I could have changed. James says I could have changed my car on 98 this morning since it was basically a parking lot for miles. Oh, yeah. And somebody did text me in earlier and said, do remember that somebody got seriously injured and, you know, keep that in mind as well as we're joking. Agree with Meg. I'd want tickets to Andrew teaching John how to change clothes.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Let's see. Changing clothes down to your undies is only indecent exposure if bikinis are legally indecent exposure. There you go. See?
Hmm.
Told y'all we're weird. All right. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. I feel like, you know how they have diver down flags you put in the water to let people know that there's a diver?
Yeah, you're going to need one.
Changer down on your roof, you know, don't look over here.
Yeah.
And or, you know, pay for the privilege. All right, so if you if you need to get work done in your home, the air conditioning, the plumbing, the electrical, the heating, whatever, Peden can do all of that stuff since 1969. Robert Peden has been doing this. And, you know, it started with air conditioning, kind of expanded. Of course, heating is a natural corollary to that, and then eventually to electrical and to plumbing. And geographically, they're in Panama City and eventually expanded east all the way to Tallahassee. And, you know, so you're into the eastern time zone. West all the way, I mean, now across the water, over into Mobile even, across Baldwin County, Mobile, so across the state line. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast, Peden takes care of this stuff. Good quality installation, good quality products and people, and they stand by their work with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, you can beat the annual regulatory price bump with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off the remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a 2-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Blue Horseshoe loves Blue Star Airlines. Got it?
Got it.
Right.
You know, there's something about Dire Straits that as soon as it starts, even if you don't know the song, you know it. I love bands that have such an unique and iconic sound that I know an icon is a visual and we're talking about music. Don't start with me. But they have such an interesting, unique sound that you know immediately who it is when you play a little bit of it. I love that. Hey, what?
Somebody texted in and said Andrew needs a fans-only website. charge admission. I'm sorry. I just had
Andrew's
to
only fans car changing cam.
Oh my Here God. Goes a little flag.
You just know it's somebody's gig. You know, it's somebody's fetish out there. You know what I really like is I like people. Anyway, so.
Sorry, go ahead.
My God, this is just so. Y'all are the best. I love you. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just dealing with this one accident on Mobile Highway and Softly Field Road. It's at the intersection. It's causing some delays in all directions. So definitely playing around that one. Other than that, we are good, Mr. Flagman. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Knock her down!
Yeah.
What the Florida?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's pretty completely deserved. Oh, hey, I was listening to the Board of Trustees meeting at UWF, and, you know, I think this is something that people know but maybe don't know, and it's useful because they're talking about the metrics, you know, the Board of Governors metrics that all of the state universities have to basically report on, and they perform, and they get a grade, and then we get numbers, and they improve or they don't improve or whatever, and UWF was number three in the state last year, which is really good. I mean, it's Florida, FSU, and then us, and it doesn't mean that we are the same caliber as Florida and FSU. It means that the way the metrics work, we scored in their vicinity. And in part, that's because you get benefit or you get score for objective achievements. But in some categories, you might be kind of low on the scale. And so you can either get a score for objective accomplishment or for improvement. You know, so I don't know, an example, you know, getting A's would be a certain objective improvement. Improving from C's to B's would be an improvement score, and you might get both. Anyway, so I'm not meaning to downplay what UWF did, but it's great to get a third place. In any case, in a state university system like this. But one of the things has to do with the percentage of students who graduate without a loan is one of the things that they get graded on. And, you know, with the conversation around student debt in the nation, it's one of these things that I think we just can't say often enough. I don't love the news to get outside of Florida, but Florida is an amazing place to get a post-secondary education. It's free if you have, you know, Bright Futures, or it's 75% paid if you get Bright Futures. And even if you don't get Bright Futures, it is super cheap. What is it, like eight grand, you know, I think, which is crazy cheap for a really good quality university. And so for all of your people all around the nation that have all this big college debt, and you're like, well, Florida, you know. But think about this number for the University of West Florida and their metrics on this graduating without student debt.
Here are the three, the two metrics for metric three. Average cost to student, this hasn't changed. And actually the benchmarks for this are the same for each university. For 3B, without loans, a score of three is where UWF is currently performing, so 75.9% of our students graduate without a loan. And then to get a five on this metric, we have to reach 76.9%.
75% of students at UWF graduate without a loan. Bro, I mean, that's amazing if you think about it. Compared, again, to most schools, I mean, I know, like, University of Illinois, where I went to school, I think it was about $7,000 back in the day when I went there, so it was not very expensive. It is ridiculously expensive today, ridiculously. So when we talk about higher education in Florida, we don't just talk about quality. We talk about affordability and, again, with Bright Futures. But 75% of UWF graduates graduate without a degree or with a degree, graduate without any student debt. And they were actually, you know, the numbers that they hit on their average income after graduating are also very high. I don't remember the number. I think it's, I want to say it's at like 45,000, and it's, we get graded based on what percentage hit that, and then it's going up it's going up by about 10,000 is what I remember. So it's getting, it might be 50 and then going up to 60, but something like that. And again, we do very, very well on that, that metric, which is a great thing. I mean, that's something we should be proud of. So our, you know, little old university. In fact, we're going to probably talk about this tomorrow because you know, I've got some clips to share related to Manny Diaz, because the vote for him to be confirmed is going to be at tomorrow's Board of Trustees meeting. And I actually want to have an interesting conversation with you about the future of UWF, but we'll save that for tomorrow. In any case, my point is, UWF, like all of your schools in Florida, is a very good school. We have a lot of metrics that work in our favor, and Florida, generally speaking, is a fantastic place to pursue higher education. The number one school system for higher education in the entire country, which is, I mean, that's amazing.